Hey y'all, hey, it's me, Dr. O, coming at you for another episode of Dr. O After Dark. And I am joined tonight by the one and only Miss Ashley Martinez. You know, you make me, I hear Martinez, it makes me think of Angie Martinez, but if for some reason, it also makes me want to do like Cardi B, like Martinez. Okay? Okay. This Ashley Martinez. Okay. Y'all better, what's they say? Y'all better recognize. How you doing today, Miss Ashley?
I am well, Dr. O. Thank you. How are you?
I am doing good. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for joining me on tonight. And we're going to have a really good time. We're going to get into it. So as we do, before we get into all of the shenanigans that we got going on here at Dr. O, tell everybody who you are and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I've been practicing in mental health for a little over 14 years now, but I am currently the owner of Brain Power Hour, LLC, and we are a private practice. We focus on mental health and therapy for adults, couples, and adolescents.
Okay.
So we provide all of our services throughout the state of Georgia. All of our services are provided, again, via telehealth. And we do strive to work to make everybody's lives just a little bit easier, maybe a little bit more happier. So,
well, that's wonderful. And it's amazing. So it's funny because pre-COVID, my practice, we always offered telehealth. Because in breaking the barriers and stigmatization to providing mental health care, quality and affordable mental health care, that was one of our objectives early, you know, early on since the beginning. Yes. We offered in office, in community, as well as telehealth. And I recall so many of the colleagues were like, no, mental health care and telehealth, you can't do it over the, you know, it's something about being in the office to feel your energy. I got to see their body and they're this and they're that. And then when COVID hit and yes, everybody was kind of forced to transition, you know, all the people who had a lot to say about how horrible it is, they are now the ones that closed their practice 100% virtual and are like, I am not going back. This is the best thing ever. But what I love about it is that, again, it provides access.
Yes, ma'am.
Especially in rural areas. Mm-hmm. We think about places like right here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people think of Georgia, they think of, especially people of color, they think of Atlanta. They think that Atlanta is the state. Mm-hmm. Georgia is the city. It's like Atlanta is the whole everything, black on black and black is black. But you go about 10 minutes outside that outside metro Atlanta, outside that perimeter, oh, you will see that you in the South.
Yes, you are very correct.
You will see that it was like, I mean, was that Mammy and them? Did she just have on that when she's sitting outside in her white, you know, dress with a rag on her head picking cotton? I mean, we hear it all the time.
Yes.
I mean, right here in a regular park, they had people who were hung, a young black man and young black boy, and to remind you, don't get it twisted. So the amazing and beautiful thing is now in these rural areas and things where there's not a lot of access to clinicians of color, now virtually we can reach more people. Have you seen that in your practice?
Absolutely, 100%. I mean, I think the access when it comes to distance and transportation, but also with time. I said we see more flexibility, right? So more people are able to be seen because they can be seen on their lunch break you know, they can stay after work an extra hour rather than have to get, you know, focused. So I think it helps with the flexibility for our clients as well as the clinicians.
Yeah, I was going to say that too. It allows that now. I know when with mental health care before, a lot of times we had to work after hours in the evenings in order to accommodate the schedules of the clients, you know, that we want to work with. Now, we could have regular working hours, and say we're only going to serve this certain population, but we know that population, they are usually entrepreneurs or stay-at-home parents who don't need, everybody needs it, but maybe not as much as those who have other struggles.
Right.
But now, as you said, I can do it on my lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I can still be off at a reasonable time, 5-6 o'clock of spending time with my own family and don't have to be here to 8-9 o'clock doing therapy after hours or on weekends in order to accommodate, you know, that schedule.
And I find that the clients, they appreciate it. You know, we're finding that the work is still being done, you know, contrary to that stigma before COVID. You know, COVID really showed us what we are capable of doing with the resources around us. And so I do appreciate that, because I don't know how brain power would have grown had it not been for this rise in telehealth, you know, and I appreciate the flexibility for the clients and myself.
So tell me, how did you come up with the name Brain Power?
That's a good question. So believe it or not, that was a talk between myself, my family. I brought them in and I kind of came up with a whole list of names that I thought would really attract clients. Some of them funny when I think back on it, and some of them more serious. But, you know, we started really focusing on what is it that's going to catch folks and catch different demographics as well. And One of my family members, actually, I'll give credit to my mother, said, "What about brain power?" She was like, "You know, it's brain power. You know, you're focusing on cognitive work. You're focusing on people being the best they can. I mean, and it's a strong word. You know, it could attract men, women, children.
Exactly.
You know, so let's think about brain power." We said, "Okay, what are we going to do for it?" And our logo is redefining therapy 1 hour at a time. So naturally it became the Brain Power Hour. And that is how we came up with that name. So I will shout out my mother for helping me
with
that.
Shout out, Mom. So with Brain Power and the Brain Power, that's a great podcast too, the Brain Power Hour. So y'all stay tuned in the future
one day, Dr.
for the Brain Power Hour. And Dr. O is going to be a guest. We claiming it.
There
we speaking it into existence. Mom, you just, you know, you don't know what you monetizing here. That's what, you know, what we got going on. We helping people and we getting things out there.
Yes.
So do you, when I think of brain power, I think a lot of like brain and body work, like somatic or EMDR, brain spotting and things of that nature. Do you do any of those type of therapies?
We do not focus or specialize in EMDR. I do partner with some practices that do that for case of referrals. But when it does come to the mind-body connection, I am certified in dialectical behavior therapy.
Okay.
So we focus a lot more on that holistic approach when it comes to the mind-body connection, like meditation. We do focus on body scanning. We do focus on, especially in trauma, right? Movement, whether it's trauma-formed yoga, trauma-informed body therapy. So we do focus on some approaches, but nothing as technical, I'd say, as EMDR.
Okay. And when you mentioned like meditation and things like that, it really made me think about hypnotherapy.
Yes.
Are you familiar with hypnotherapy? Are you consider that? It seems like that would kind of that brain power hour.
Yes,
would,
ma'am.
It would fit right kind of into you guys' practice.
And it absolutely does. We do actually provide hypnotherapy.
Okay.
For clients. And I have successfully worked with clients who are focusing on topics such as smoking cessation and weight loss. It also does help with trauma work, believe it or
not.
So again, being a trauma-focused practice, we absolutely promote hypnotherapy for a number of different reasons.
And I'm, you know, certified and a trainer of hypnotherapy, you know, as well. And I do focus a lot on the, you know, the trauma side of it. Now, we do behavioral changes as well, but we look at, okay, well, if we're trying to change a smoking cessation, or let's say weight loss, why are we, you know, why did it come to begin with? What is the anxiety? So if we look back and we know that all of these, you trace it back. There's some trauma that is in there. Ding, ding, ding. That's that's how I started eating for comfort. And now I need to lose weight, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, they say all roads lead to Rome is what the saying goes. I like to say all roads lead back to the motherland because, you know, I mean,
They all do.
I'm not giving them European folk credit for where we originated. So all roads lead back to, So speaking of roots and leading back to our roots, where are you originally from?
Originally born and raised in Connecticut, actually.
Really?
Shout out to my CT folks.
Shout out to family. Connecticut.
Yes, ma'am. I was born and raised there. I did all of my education in between Connecticut and Massachusetts.
Okay.
So that's even up through grad school. So all of my family and my heart is still up north. However, 4 years ago, I came down to the great state of Georgia, and I've been practicing since.
Wow,
I absolutely love it.
So you're fresh here. Mm-hmm. You know, as they say, fresh fish. You knew.
It came the year of COVID. I could not believe it. I said, I came fall of 2019. COVID hit spring 2020. So I did not like Atlanta in the beginning.
I'll say, yeah, you haven't even, I mean, pre-COVID Atlanta is really different than post-COVID Atlanta. I mean, so you don't even get me. No. So you're married and family?
I am engaged.
Engaged. And I noticed, I seen a bit.
Oh, yeah.
That bling and bling. Let me see.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Shout out to him, honey. He
yes.
did. If you like it, you better put a ring. So,
yeah.
Did you package him up, box him up, and bring him down, or did you meet him here?
He is homegrown, Georgia, born and raised. I said he is from Augusta.
Okay.
He has given me two bonus children as well, so I have two bonus daughters. And we are excited. We're planning our wedding. So
when's the wedding?
Oh, damn. I was like, we're planning.
Okay.
But we have set 2025. Yes.
Okay. So shameless plug, just in case anybody don't know, I'm also technically a licensed ordained minister. So I officiate weddings. I actually officiate my cousin. I officiate weddings and funerals and all of that in between.
Wow. I did not know that, Dr.
So, yeah, no, so yeah, we do that. In addition, you know, so if I do like marriage or premarital counseling. So if you do like premarital counseling with me through my package, then I, you know, will also officiate. Or you could just have me officiate your wedding as, you know, as well. But I don't officiate weddings unless I know. That if they ain't right, if I got that, you know, I'm seeing them red flags, I'm like, mm-mm, sis.
Mm-mm.
Bruh.
Well, I will come through to pass the Dr. O test to get you there to our wedding. So thank you.
Let me tell you, they talk about that 5-year itch. Ooh, get over that 3-year hump. They said 3-year hump. Get over the 3-year hump. Okay. Made it over 3-year hump. I get 5-year hump. I'm like, we doing good, baby. We just made it year 8. And when I tell you, they don't tell you about that 7-year hump. Once I started talking to people about it and all my other men, they were like, oh, yeah, 7 years. And I started looking at, ironically, I started looking at a lot of even like celebrities and stuff like that. And they all were like divorced at like around the 8th year. Who is that I'm thinking of? That was a big Real Housewives of Atlanta, if you watch that.
We're not talking
the
Cynthia.
One who no the one who no because Cynthia it didn't last 8 years. I don't think what either of them lasted ain't no shade, Miss Cynthia, you know. But no, what the other one? She was on The Game, and she had she was saying how her husband was gaslighting.
Oh, no. We're not talking about Miss Phaedra.
When was the last time you...
I know. No, I'm going through all of them because I know it wasn't Nene. I know it wasn't Phaedra.
Miss Phaedra, she's married to Madison now.
Portia?
No. She's new. She's only been there like the last 3 years-ish. I forget.
No.
But she was on The Game. That's what she's known from. Being on The Game. Y'all gonna make me look her up and be like,
why can't I remember her name?
But
I know who you're talking about.
Anyways, they had, ever since coming on the show, they were having marital problems, her and her husband. They were advertising and thought he was, you know, infidelity and so on and so forth. And then earlier this year, they announced that they are getting the divorce. I think both of them was trying to run to the courts first. And I think like within 30 minutes of each other, they each filed for divorce. But they had just, like, was about to make their 8th year. And I was like, yeah, see? that 7-year hump got them.
See, and those are the things that, you know, as couples, counselors, and clinicians, we try to be proactive in those areas. You know, I encourage everybody to go for couples counseling, whether you're having problems or not. You know, I think a big stigma is the idea that you have to have issues to go to couples counseling. And some of the best couples I've ever worked with were those that said, we're not having issues. We just want to make sure we're maintaining our health, mm-hmm. you know, and while we're managing our relationship, we want to focus on our individuality, or we want to focus on our communication, but we want to be proactive. We don't want to wait for problems.
Absolutely. And I see, you know, so when I work with my couples, I ask them all the time, and this is always kind of get this shock look. I said, okay, Ms. Martinez, are you two brother and sisters? You're looking at, what do you mean, brother and sisters? I know this Georgia, but no. Mm-mm. Okay. Were you adopted and raised in the same, you know, household? No, absolutely not. Mm. What are you getting at? I said, yeah, that shock factor that you just released, that's what I'm getting at. So what I'm telling you is that you two are two different people, raised in two different households, two different parents. So therefore you have different values, different morals, different things, different beliefs, and you're trying to merge and bring that difference together in a cohesive, you know, in a cohesive way. So it's going to be conflict. You know, if it's Absolutely. Not, you know, it's, you know, but it's healthy. You can have healthy conflict. And that's Yes. what we want to work on. I tell clients when they're, you know, don't come to me for premarital therapy after you're engaged. Mm. To me, that's too late. Because you usually when you're engaged, it's like, oh, I'm so happy they bought the ring. Right. And we're not saying no. I'd invested money in this ring. Mm-hmm. I don't see an auto red flag, but he asked me. So, no, we're doing it. Mm-hmm. But come when, you know, not when you first meet a guy or a girl and like, yeah, I want to come in for, but when you kind of start like,
Right.
I want to feel it. We've been dating for 3-6 months now. They mm-hmm. might be, you know, so before I get to that point of wanting to propose and right. things like that, let's make sure we're aligned on communication, child rearing, religion.
Yes, yes.
And spirituality, finances, and spending. Where do we want to live? All of these things that a lot of us, we like, oh no, we're just so happy to get married. And then we get into like, this hard.
It is. And I would add, you know, conflict resolution, just conflict management is a huge topic in couples counseling. And just to what you had said a few moments ago, Dr. O, I try and let clients know in my practice, conflict is nothing to avoid. Conflict is nothing to be afraid of. Conflict can be a tool for growth.
Exactly.
If you know how to manage it. You know, it's not the picture of people yelling, screaming, and throwing things. It's two people who have two different ideas mm-hmm. that are right now at a crossroads.
Absolutely.
How do we manage those two ideas in a way where we both feel safe and secure?
Absolutely.
And so I really enjoy the couples work we do at Brain Power because I really enjoy seeing the growth. I really enjoy seeing folks use their skills in session and then talk about it when they go home, you know, and say, this really helped us. And obviously to grow with families, you know, from pre-marriage to marriage, I've seen couples all of a sudden decide they want children and go from that part to having the child. And now we've got a baby here, you know, in session. So so I really enjoy the work we do with couples. It's a lot of fun.
Now, is this your first marriage or have you been married before?
No, this will be my first marriage. Yeah.
How exciting.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you nervous or scared?
Very nervous. Like very, very nervous. Now we've been together for a number of years now. So we are comfortable, but still, you never know what the future brings. And so I think the nervousness I experience is very natural. I believe everything obviously would go well. And I believe I've chosen a good partner who meets my needs and vice versa. Mm-hmm. We do love each other very much. But again, the nervousness around not just the planning of a wedding, I think that's more the small potatoes, but again, who will we be in 10 years, 20 years?
Yeah, but plan a wedding, that's not small. My husband asked if I want to, you know, like renew our vows. I'm like, sure, but I ain't planning. We're not doing a wedding again. It's going to be me, you, and the little crew. But and we didn't even have a big wedding. We had a really small wedding. We actually got married in downtown Atlanta in a Ferris wheel.
Oh, okay. The Eye, yeah.
Going around that. It was his sister as a witness, my dad, our two children, the photographer, and the pastor. Okay. And we did our vows as was going around, and then we walked across the street to Centennial Olympic Park, and we took pictures and, you know, did our whole photo shoot there. And then we went and had, like, dinner at the Atlanta Fish Market or something like that.
Oh, that sounds so nice.
So it was very, kind of more like an elopement, but that was hectic. I can't imagine. I used to want the big fairy tale wedding and everything like that. And he was like, oh, well, after we have this one, we can have the big one. After that, I was like, mm-mm.
All done with planning.
Nope. And if me and you don't work out, baby, I am not getting married again.
Well, listen, I'll be hitting you up for some advice. I said, because when it does get closer, I am more anxious.
Because what I learned, at least with me, is that as we talk about our stories and we talk about trauma, and what I deal a lot with is things like developmental trauma. So things that we experience during our childhood and our developmental stages that have impacted us in a traumatic way. So when we was going back and we were talking about, and I asked them, well, are you siblings? And they say, no, because I say, well, you have different values and different beliefs and different this and that and third. It's where our core beliefs are developed. When we come into this world, we come in as clean slates. We do depend on our parents, others, and the world around us to teach us about who we are, whose we are, and everything else in between. And so there are certain things into which how your family dynamics may be, whether it was you growing up in a two-parent household versus a single-parent household versus with your grandparents or community, or even now growing up in multi-parent household, like with sister wives and sister husbands, and, you know, all the two moms, two dads, all these different dynamics in which, you know, that we have. And so when we're coming and we're being raised in that now, we, from my family, develop my core beliefs that I have about myself.
Yes.
So if it is, as we often talk about, you know, a trauma, just say I'm a latchkey kid. Now, as an adult, I can sit here and I can rationalize and I can say, okay, yes, I grew up in a single parent household, me and my two siblings. I was the oldest. Mom was a nurse. She worked hard to make sure that we had our food and clothes and this and that and the third. But that 7-year-old, all I just wanted to know was, why is my mom at the PTA meeting like the other kid's mom? Or why can't my mom come here and volunteer for this program? It then makes me feel something's wrong with me, or my mom doesn't love me, I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable. And now we can rationalize that as adults and say, no, I know that wasn't the case. But the rationalization and the understanding we have as an adult has nothing to do with where we were as that child and in that moment. And that's what happens with trauma, is that it freezes us at that age.
Yes.
And not where we are today. And so that's where our core beliefs kind of come in and are developed. So when we go into marriage and we go into relationships, a lot of times it is, and I know for me, you know, with core beliefs, I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable, I'm not enough. Something is that inevitably wrong for me, with me, filling that void, right?
You're right.
I'm going to fill that void. I don't want to believe that I'm these things. So I'm going to fill that void with people who love me, people who like me. And oftentimes what happens, and what I see what happens in other relationships, is that because of that, we're so focused on filling that void, we see all the red flags. Big, heavy, hefty waving. But he said he loved me. He's a provider. Oh, he took me out to a non-chain restaurant. That's what's going on.
That's the news.
He took me out. You know, it's funny. When I met I laugh when I seen that list going around, because when I met my husband, I had told him, and I had met him when I was met him when I was 24, but when you started dating until I was 27. I said, I've never been on a date to a non-chain restaurant before. Mm. Applebee's, Red Lobster, this, and which was fine. But at 25, 27, I'm like, I want to experience Ray's on the River, you know, or something, you know, even the Ray's is a local chain, but that's what, you know, I had never been. So now when that list come out, and I'm like, I love me some Cheesecake Factory now. Come on now.
There's nothing wrong with Cheesecake Factory, everybody. I want you to know they got really good food and it's a really good time. And let's also state it's about the experience.
It is. And if Beyonce can, what is she came out with that song with Red Lobster?
Oh, yes.
If Beyonce eating the biscuits at Red Lobster, then you know.
We can too.
You can too. Yeah, that's it. But also with the economics and everything, which is another thing that with trauma and everything.
Yes.
I remember when Red Lobster used to be lower end. Yeah. Now Red Lobster, it's like $50 a plate. I mean, I'm like, where do all you can eat endless shrimp for $20?
No more. But you're right. I think you bring up a really good point, right? People who are making statements like you can only take me here, or I respect the idea of standards. However, are your standards realistic? Are your standards realistic for the financial times we're in right now?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the message you're sending by saying you can't take me here, you can only take me to this level and up? You know, what is the message you're actually sending? And what are you looking to get out of that experience? Again, going back to red flags in a relationship. I don't know how that mentality translates into a long-term marriage, right?
Yeah.
So I do, thinking about that, what's going viral nowadays, you know, I do think about that in my couples counseling. And we often do talk about the idea of expectations and standards and how you're communicating them. And again, what does that say about your values, right?
So I was driving, and my Lyft driver the other day, she's from Cali, and you know, she had recently located out here to Georgia, and you know, trying to find her a man, and she's like the stereotypical, all the good men in Georgia or in Atlanta are taken, or they gay, or they this, or they that, or they, you know, on a down low or whatever. And so when I was like, you know, I'm married, she's like, well, did you meet your husband in Georgia? I was like, I sure did. She's like, well, where did you meet him? I told him the story and everything else. Like, she's like, did you bring him down? Did you clone him? What? You know, where'd you get him? So let me ask you, because you guys are newly engaged. Mm-hmm. You done swooped him up. He's right here from Atlanta. You're from Connecticut. You found you a good old Georgia boy. So they here. And no disrespect to you nor him, and not knowing y'all, getting in y'all business, you know, we got no judgment for open, poly, anything, heterosexual, would we say?
Yes.
Uh-huh. See? So they out there. So he black, not on down low. Is he African-American?
No.
Well, see, that is where, so that's a, we ain't even got time. See? I tell people all the time, they be like, oh, there's piss in a dating pool. And I said, well, maybe you need to go to the lake.
There you go.
It's got seaweed and dirt in the lake. Well, baby, maybe you need to go to the ocean. Ain't no man here in Georgia. Well, how you been to Texas? How you been in New York? Oh, I've been all there. Well, have you been to Europe? Have you been to Jamaica? You know them. No, stay away. I know, I love you. Hey. But y'all know, you Jamaican, when y'all can say it for me. Put it in the comments for me. I ain't gonna say it because, you know, I ain't gonna discriminate about my Stella guy head groove that Caribbean men. But, you know. Europe, London, France, Spain, India, Africa. I'm like, come on, this Turkey man love blouse. So, tell us, if you don't mind me asking, what's the ethnicity of your husband or your fiance?
He is white.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Look at see?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I said, he's himself again, Augusta. and then came to Atlanta himself. So we were both transplants when we met. And so for him, he's one of those good old country boys. I said, came to Atlanta. And then I came from the north. Everybody, you're from the city and everything else. Came down here and we met and we clicked like boom. And that was it.
And see, we can stop with the stereotype. Because when she said, I ain't even going to lie, when she said two bonus kids. That's why I was shocked when doing it. And I was like, you know, I just assumed that he was a black man.
Oh, no.
You see?
No. No. See? No, ma'am.
See? That's all I can say. I'm a lost word. I'm like, see? 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 When y'all all be talking about how, you know, they ain't no good. They ain't got this. They ain't got that. They got kids. No.
It's
true. All over the plethora. But you got to stick your toe. Be willing.
Amen. I will say this. I myself am the product of interracial relationships and interracial relationship. I choose to date all different kinds of races. And it just so happened, this is the lucky one. I said, he is the one. But
and I will tell you. I will tell you. Now, I cannot. It's funny. Never dated, really dated. Like I went out to dinner this one time with a white man. And that was when I was. Yeah, maybe about 20 or so like that. But never outside of like a date. So never.
Mm-hmm.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen lots of people and from all different ethnicities and things like that. And when growing up, I was taught about African men and the Mandingo warrior.
Okay.
Lies. Lies, I tell you, I was so excited when I got my first, when getting a Cameroonian French speaking.
I see.
I have a good girlfriend from the military, and she dated, or she was intimate with this guy. And the whole time she laughed during the intimacy. And she said that he asked, why you laughing? Why? And she's like, because you're tickling me. So ever since then, all throughout our military career, I don't even remember the guy's name. We called him Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo.
Tickle Me Elmo, yes. So all I'm saying, ladies, is that she happy, she's satisfied enough with her white fiance that she's marrying him. So don't get distracted about being pleased by other races because
don't believe the stereotypes. That's all I'm gonna say. Don't believe the stereotypes.
Y'all ever been what was that with Chain and Tandem? What was that?
Magic Mike.
Being a Magic Mike in Vegas. Y'all done got me lost for words. Do you hang low? Do it wobble to and fro? Can you tie it in a knot? Can you tie it in a bow? Can you throw it over your shoulder like a continental soldier? Do you hang low?
Ding, ding. Cheers to that. That was a good one.
So you want to get in there. Get in there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For joining us. Now, we all family now, so we all being invited to the wedding.
Yes.
And everything. You can only be invited if you bring good gifts. That's the thing.
That's a good one. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's a that good on. Thing. Family, friends, y'all can be invited. Anybody else, y'all wedding crashing, you got to bring an amazing gift. We need juicers and houses and
blenders, whatever you got.
Everything. And we're going to make some beautiful babies as well. So we need diapers. Go ahead and get them in there too. So we can have some diapers and bottles as well. So tell everybody where they should send all of your gifts. How can we find you on the world wide web and social medias and all?
Well, y'all come and find me at my Brain Power Hour site. Okay, so we're at www.bphour.com. But also follow us on Facebook and IG, okay? So if you look us up, Brain Power Hour, all one word, on Facebook and IG, again, send me a message, I'll send you one back. I say, you want to send a gift? I receive that too. So please look us up, please follow us. And I hope that if this message touches anybody out there, if you're ever interested in a consultation, please call us as well, okay?
And the greatest gift you can give for all of those who wonder, I don't know what a gift to give. money.
We love
gift cards. See, what that can do is that also your donations can also help someone else who is unable to afford mental health therapy. So yes. Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do a campaign and make a kind of partnership for like that. Your wedding party gifts. We accept only donations and giving them to people who need therapy. Yes. And congratulations to you and you guys. Marriage therapy.
Yes. You know what? I like that.
Coming soon. All right, y'all. Thank you again for joining us for another episode of Dr. O After Dark with the very wonderful Miss Ashley
Martinez.
Martinez. See that
bud. Roll the Mars.
That bud equal banana. It's not banana.
No.
Borena.
Borena.
Oh, like the beret, like raspberry. Bud equal borena.
Just stick with the bud equal part.
Just stick with the bud equal part.
Bud equal borena.
I can stick with the boricua. Now point to you for the other part.
There you go.
So boricua.
Morena.
Boricua.
Morena.
Is it morena?
It switches.
Is
you know
it?
That?
No. I thought it was banana the whole time.
No.
Child, we're going to have to continue this offline because I need to know what banana and morena.
No problem. I got you.
Thank y'all. Stay tuned for all of the after show, after, you know, hours and everything like that, shenanigans, as I figure out the boricua and bananas, all right? And if his ears are hanging low.
Stay tuned.